This is day 32 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and we're learning about Christ the Mediator. In the last couple of days, we've seen, primarily from the Catechism, that the Lord executes the offices of prophet, priest, and king. Today, we're going to return to the confession, and we're going to pick up at section 4. Now, you'll remember that in section 3, we were taught that the Lord Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, so that being holy, harmless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, he might be thoroughly furnished to execute the office of a mediator and surety. Section 4 then picks up and says, "This office the Lord Jesus did most willingly undertake, which that he might discharge, he was made under the law, and did perfectly fulfill it. Endured most grievous torments immediately in his soul, and most painful sufferings in his body, was crucified and died, was buried, and remained under the power of death, yet saw no corruption. On the third day he arose from the dead, with the same body in which he suffered, with which also he ascended into heaven, and there sits at the right hand of his Father, making intercession, and shall return to judge men and angels at the end of the world." Okay, let's look at the scripture proof texts for each of those claims. First, that this office, mediator and surety, the Lord Jesus did most willingly undertake. Psalm 40, 7 and 8, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of thy book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." Hebrews 10 refers to this psalm, verses 5 and following, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrificed an offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." John 10:18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Philippians 2:8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Okay, that office he did most willingly undertake, with which that he might discharge, he was made under the law. Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And the confession says, "And did perfectly fulfill it." Matthew 3:15, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." That is, John allowed him to be baptized. Matthew 5:17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Then the confession says, "He endured most grievous torments immediately in his soul." Matthew 26:37 and 38, He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Luke 22:44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." And then on the cross, Matthew 27:46, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then the confession says, "And most painful sufferings in his body," and tells us to look at Matthew 26:27 and read the entire chapters, because that's the narrative of the suffering that Christ endured. Then was crucified and died, Philippians 2:8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was buried and remained under the power of death, yet saw no corruption. Acts 2:23, 24, and 27. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And compare this with Acts 13:37. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And then on the third day, the confession says, he rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. The confession says, on the third day he rose again from the dead, with the same body in which he suffered. John 20:25-27, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Thomas, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. With which, that is to say, with the same body in which he suffered, with which he also ascended into heaven, and there sits at the right hand of his Father. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto him, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God, where, according to the confession, he maketh intercession. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 9:24-25. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And shall return, the confession says, to judge men and angels at the end of the world. Romans 14:9-10. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Matthew 13:40-42, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world, or more literally, the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels or messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Well, that's all the confession gives us. Now, that section of the confession tells us that the Lord experienced what the standards call humiliation and exaltation. He was humbled and in a lowest form, experienced human existence, and then was exalted by God. So confession, so back to the catechism now. The catechisms then give us a great deal of detail on Christ's humiliation, and his exaltation. So we're going to look first at the shorter catechism. And just to sort of signpost where we're going, question 27 asks, wherein did Christ's humiliation consist? And question 28 of the shorter catechism says, wherein consisteth Christ's exaltation? And just to see the answer, it parallels roughly what we just saw in the confession. Question 27, the answer is, Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross, in being buried, and continuing under the power of death for a time. Okay, that's Christ's humiliation. Question 28, wherein consisteth Christ's exaltation? Answer, Christ's exaltation consisteth in his rising again from the dead on the third day, in ascending up into heaven, in sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and in coming to judge the world at the last day. That's Christ's exaltation. Now, that's a summary, pretty much, of the four Gospels, really, when you think about it. And there's a lot more information that God has seen fit to put in the Bible that's not in the shorter catechism. So the larger catechism will kick in, and where we have question 27, Christ's humiliation, the larger catechism has five questions, and on question 28 in the shorter catechism, wherein consisteth Christ's exaltation, the larger catechism has six questions. So tomorrow, day 33, we'll begin with shorter catechism question 27, wherein consisteth Christ's humiliation.